Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Hello, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the Brouhaha. And joining me today, my good old pal, Prof D.
Old pal.
We're old, man.
Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year, 2015. So when the new year hit, I thought, what beastie celebration is celebrating its 20th anniversary. And I thought, Hello Nasty? No, that was 1998. Of course, last year we celebrated Ill Communication. That was the only brouhaha that we did in 2014, if you can believe that. And let's play some music right now. Hold on. Some heroic, triumphant music. So 20 years ago, this year, the Beastie Boys released their landmark and seminal album, Aglio e Olio. Or as I called it when it was released, Aglio e Olio. So we will celebrate that landmark album tonight. And you pointed out, Prof, that we're getting this celebration off to an early start because according to Wikipedia, the album wasn't released until November 13th, 1995.
That is correct.
So I think
we're way ahead.
I think of this as a year-long celebration. Because the thing is, if we waited until November, I'm afraid Thanksgiving and the holidays would get the best of us, and we would never get this episode out. So why not start early?
If we were celebrating all year, we could listen to this album 7,000 times from now until then.
Probably more than that.
Probably.
So before we start, and tonight, like me and Prof usually do, well, we've done it two times. We're going to do it three times tonight. We're going to actually have a running commentary while Aglio e Olio plays. I've gone onto YouTube and watched people make, it's spaghetti with garlic and olive oil. I've watched people make those recipes. And for some reason, they never pronounce that E. They say, I'm going to make a spaghetti aglio e olio. So I don't know why they don't pronounce that E. Maybe we should have Joe DiRenzo come on and he could break down the proper pronunciation and why sometimes the E is omitted from recipes.
I think it's just, you know, it breaks it up too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's in Italian, it's a beautiful language. It's almost like they're singing. So, when did you get Aglio e Olio?
To the best of my knowledge, on November 13th, 1995.
No, you didn't.
I swear, I'm pretty sure I did.
You got it on the day it was released?
Yeah, not like a midnight show or anything. Not the midnight release.
Well, how did you even know it came out?
I don't remember, actually. I mean, this was like we had Ill the year before,
mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, what's next? And then they dropped this little nugget,
well,
kind of out of the blue.
Well, 94 was Ill Communication in Lollapalooza, and then in 1995, it was the Quadrophonic Stereo Tour, and at the tail end of that, we got the Root Down EP. And then
This
was the age, the internet existed in 1995, but I did not have a computer at home. And I knew nothing about this album. And I was a huge Beastie Boys fan in 1995. I remember I was on Christmas break from college and remember how MTV would have their little news blurbs every hour.
Yeah. And Kurt Loder,
John Norris, Tabitha Soren,
yeah,
Serena Altschul. Well, during one of those news breaks, they had a quick blurb about the Beastie Boys, and they said, yeah, their new album's out. And I thought, what? There was no fanfare about it. I knew nothing about the album. I didn't have a computer at home. The internet was, it was slow as molasses back in 1995. And I didn't have DVR, so I couldn't rewind it. And I thought, did they just say a new Beastie Boys album came out? So I went down to the National Record Mart, Waterworks, at the Waterworks, which later became Waves Music and later went out of business, as all or most record stores have. And I went to the Beastie Boys section, and lo and behold, there was a little cardboard album that said Aglio e Aglio. And I thought, what? And then I flipped it over, and there was 8 new Beastie Boys songs. I couldn't believe it. In all of my years as a Beastie Boys fan, this was the most unexpected treat. I didn't see it coming.
It definitely flew under the radar.
1 second, I was watching MTV. 20 minutes later, I'm at the record store, and I have a new Beastie Boys album. It's probably how Beyonce fans felt when Beyonce released her surprise album last December.
Yeah.
Except these songs were much better.
Well,
and it wasn't as much of a commitment. 8 songs.
Did you listen to it on the way home then? Did you have the Discman rocking?
No. I didn't.
Oh, still with the cassette deck.
So I had to wait to get home, put it in my CD player, because I don't think Aglio e Aglio was released on cassette, was it?
No. To the best of my knowledge, it is not.
Yeah. So the most unexpected treat in my Beastie journey, Aglio e Aglio. And at
now, do you recall the sticker on the front of the album?
Wasn't it 8 songs in 11 minutes? Something to that effect?
It was 8 songs, 11 minutes, cheap, double dollar sign. And actually, listening to your story, I don't remember like how much it cost. Like in 1995.
Yeah, well,
$5 maybe?
Well, no, the thing is, in 1995, albums were $19.99.
Yeah.
People don't realize that CDs were expensive 20 years ago. So, yeah, I don't know how much Aglio e Aglio.
It would have been like a CD single.
Yeah, maybe like a maxi
that kind
single,
of price.
Like a $5.99.
Yeah.
And then at the time,
that sounds right.
At the time, we were making another homemade motion picture. I don't know why you weren't in this one, because you were part of the inner friendship circle at that time, and we used Brand New in one of the fight scenes.
Is this
because I think like a day later when I was editing the fight scene together, I thought, ooh, Brand New, this is perfect, and I used it in the movie. The movie was called Ransom, and this Ransom came out before Mel Gibson's Ransom,
and was better.
And. Although the audio levels on our Ransom were messed up for some reason. So every time we watched it, you had to turn the volume all the way up. So, shall we start?
Shall we proceed?
Yeah, let's do it. So I'll go 3, 2, and on 1, hit your space bar. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, for your audio and listening pleasure, we have the commentary of Aglio e Aglio from the Beastie Boys. 3, 2, 1. All right, there we go. Beautiful song. Brand new, right?
Brand new. And you're like, oh my God, this is a great way to start the album. It's brand new.
It is brand new. This.
And it's just for you.
I think this is my favorite song on the album.
I always felt like when I was listening to like it, like the songs were almost like all blended together, and it's, you know, it was like, oh, I like, you know, that's not a big commitment. I mean, this is shorter than, you know, B-Boy Bouillabaisse.
Now, did you ever hear the song performed live?
I don't think I did. I mean, not like with me actually live.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've seen performances of it. Wait, listen.
Sabrosa. I love that he shouts out Sabrosa in this song. Or does he say side to side? See, 20 years later,
the world may never know.
Sabrosa, side to side. I guess either work. Yeah, I don't know if I've heard this one performed live, but it is good.
So I was doing a little digging, and I found a little blurb from a article in Rolling Stone from 1996.
Yeah.
That said, let's see here.
We're gonna miss deal with it. You better get it out.
Too late.
Well, once the album's over, we can go over any notes that we didn't talk about.
Yes.
So now we're on track to deal with it. I don't know if I've heard this one live.
I don't know that I've heard most of this, like, live. Like, with me there, of all the shows that I've been to. And I'm surprised, like,
you have
not heard, because you've been to more shows than me.
Yeah, you know what? Because I saw him in 95, and then I saw him in 98. You would think in 98 they would have played some of these.
Yeah.
So
I have to... Now, you never attended any of the Quasar shows.
No. I didn't know! They never hit Pittsburgh.
They didn't have the internet.
Yeah. The Beastie Boys never played Pittsburgh. Why would Quasar play Pittsburgh?
I don't know. Well, 1.5 times.
Yeah.
Lollapalooza and his BS 2000 that you missed out on.
I know. So, deal with it. I like deal with it. But it's not up in my top three. And then the nice little breakdown right here. Yeah, that's nice. And you know, when you have... I love hardcore bands that have the breakdown. If you don't have the breakdown, it's just not worth listening to.
And it's tough to fit the breakdown into such a short song.
I know.
Although, deal with it, one of the longer songs on the album, flirting with that 2-minute mark.
It officially clocks in at 1:58.
Yeah.
And then we head into track number...
I want some, the only song that cracks the 2-minute mark.
Right now we're on track 3, Believe Me. Yeah, this is good.
Jim, have you ever seen this live?
You know what? I should have checked all of the set list to the shows I attended. I did not do my homework tonight. Believe in me! Now, why
they
is this...
They used to sprinkle these in pretty, like, frequently, actually. Like,
you know,
in a lot of the shows.
For the next episode of the Brouhaha, I'll report to everyone which Aglio e Aglio songs I heard live. But my question is, why is this song called Believe Me instead of Believe in Me? Because doesn't it sound like he's saying, Believe in Me? It's coming up right now.
Well, it might be, I don't know. I wonder if it was a publisher, like, you know, typographical error. They just kind of left it out. They couldn't read their handwriting and like, oh, I don't know, believe me.
Unless he's singing, believe me. And another nice little breakdown.
Little breakdown.
From AWOL. It was nice having AWOL as sort of a main member of the band during this era.
As a prominent member.
Yes. Nervous Assistant. And I think AWOL played in...
The shortest song.
Yes, 43 seconds. I think AWOL played in Suicidal Tendencies, among other hardcore bands.
You are right. Yeah, because, I mean, it was a real challenge for... Because they had Mike D, and then... But he was the vocalist, and so, like, they needed somebody behind the
mm-hmm.
kit. And but it's like hard to, you know, punk drumming is like kind of tough.
Yeah, I mean,
chops, man, you got to keep up.
Yeah, I don't know if
because I think even like when on tour, like because Alfredo took most of the duties, but I don't think he did the punk songs.
Oh yeah, he did.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I thought I read somewhere that, like, they swapped out because, like, he was the groove guy.
Well, initially, but when they figured out that Fredo could play the punk songs, and they're like, well, you know, it's one less person to pay.
What?
I don't know if that if they said that, but I mean, he could do both. But right now,
there you go.
Square Wave in unison. I think this is in my top three.
This is a good one.
And I always wondered, and maybe this is just me thinking too much, if this was sort of a... Because the title always reminded me of Union Square for some reason. Union is not in the title, but unison is in the title, and so is square.
Could be a little play on words.
And you could have a square wave in Union Square.
Or you could have a square dance in Union Square.
True. Or you could do the wave in Union Square. We're on to track number six. You catch a bad one. Oh, yeah.
I like this one.
Yeah, I do too. Woo. This is a nice album.
It's every once in a while I find myself like, you know, you pop it in and it's like, oh, yeah, a little something different.
It's so good. This is the one with the whoa. Yeah, that's Public Enemy, right?
Yeah.
Apocalypse 91, the enemy strikes black. Yep. Now, if they played this live, which I'm sure they did, I would bet they didn't play the sample.
Huh.
But I remember there was a few summers where I'd come home from the Warped Tour, and I would pop in this album, and I thought, if the Beastie Boys wanted to, they could play the Warped Tour. And this was back in the day when the Warped Tour was a little more gritty than it is now.
Right.
A little more punk than emo. And sadly,
it's fit in.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh, here it goes. This is... I can't think straight. It's my number two song on the album. Sometimes number one.
Don't you love an album that you can't even have a top 10 song? What's your top 10?
Tammy D, Mike D shouts, he says Tammy D on the brain. He also talks about, I think, a vegan fart in this song. And then he also shouts out Roy Cormier, or however you say his name, with the coconut lotion, and he'll later shout him out again on Hello Nasty.
He likes the coconut lotion.
Yeah.
Oh. Mike is quite the connoisseur.
This is the best breakdown of the album right here.
With the little spoken word.
Yeah. Does he shout out Roy Cormier, or what, however you pronounce his name? But he definitely shouts out the coconut lotion.
There it is.
Now, did you know Deck of Jack practiced this song, but we never played it live?
Really?
Yeah, but it sounded good. All right, I won some.
And here it is, and we're done.
Here, wait, you want me to quickly read what they wrote about I Want Some in The Scientists of Sound?
Yeah.
It says, after putting out the Aglio e Aglio EP, we decided to do a hardcore tour under the name of Quasar. We packed up our stuff in a van and traveled around playing little shows and house parties. We even went as far as Japan and Australia and played clubs, opening up for friends of ours. Mario C did sound, and Jazz came along as our disguise coordinator. In Australia, we had the honor of performing on a boat in nautically themed costumes. Jazz was the winner as he dressed himself in a Viking disguise. There you go.
So to add to that, I found an article in New Musical Express from 1999 that said, the new wave guitar shapes of I Want Some throw up an alternative Beastie future, which never happened. Waxing philosophical.
So, they thought this was a hint of things to come that never happened?
I think it was just that, like, oh, you know, if things had been way back in, like, the early 80s, if they had decided to stay with, you know, their punk stylings,
mm-hmm.
and never took to rapping, what would have happened?
Mm.
What would that different future look like, I think?
Mm. I would think they would probably be running tattoo shops right now on the Lower East Side.
And the world would be a sadder place.
Yes. we wouldn't be talking right now.
Well, I don't know. We'd be talking about Beyonce.
Yeah, we would have...
Men's love Beyonce.
We would have partition the Beyonce podcast. So let's stop it right there. There you go. 8 songs in 11 minutes.
11 minutes.
Cheap, $$. Because that happened so quickly, I didn't get a chance to read the excerpt from Sounds of Science, Believe Me, which is track number 3. They said, this song is from our Aglio e Aglio EP. When we first started working on Hello Nasty in New York, AWOL was around helping us get set up. Along with the usual bunch of experimental jamming, sampling, etc., we started playing a bunch of hardcore, putting song arrangements together really quickly. Then I started writing vocals. Soon we realized that we had way too many hardcore songs to possibly put out on our next album, so we decided to release them all together, almost, in parentheses, as an EP. The whole thing came together fast. We put it out and moved on. If you're into it, you can check it out. If not, fast forward. So, interesting that there were no hardcore songs on Hello Nasty.
Yeah, they got it all out of their system. They didn't need to.
So my question is, say if they had half as many songs, would they have put 4 songs on Hello Nasty?
No.
Which would have changed the whole shape and dimension of that album.
Yeah.
Because the hardest they get is Remote Control on Hello Nasty. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I suspect they probably would have put like 2, and then you would have had like a couple on the B-sides.
Yeah. So they got it all out of their system on this album. They went out on tour as Quasar. As Mike D said, they were playing smaller venues because at that point the Beastie Boys were an arena band, and I believe they began touring in late 1995. They toured through 96, and there were even Quasar dates in 1997. And if you go on the internet, you have to go to YouTube and check out Tahoe House Party. And that is the Beastie Boys playing in this dinky little basement, and I wish I was there. It looks very claustrophobic, but it also looks very awesome.
And what were the outfits for that venue?
Street clothes.
Nice.
Because I think it started out with street clothes, and then it went to the orange jumpsuits. And then I think when they hit Australia, that's when they became... That's when the nautically themed costumes came into effect. Which they later brought out, right? During the pageant tour at some point? Because isn't Mike D dressed up as a captain and they use that for the Nixon watch?
The sailor?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So I don't know if everyone else dressed like that, but Mike D dressed as a captain, I think somewhere over in Europe. And then they.
I always felt like that might have been a joke of like, you know, they were met like, come on, Mike, we'll get the nautical outfits out. He was like, all right, come on, and then he came out the only one dressed, and then it was too late. They had to go on stage, and he felt silly. Oh, you guys, you got me.
Well, you know what? If Mike D wants to come on the Brouhaha to explain that, he can. So all he has to do is email me at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. You know what, Prof? We've been doing this a long time. I think it's about time we get Mike D or Ad Rock on the Brouhaha.
You've come really close. I mean, you've had, you know, well, some associates.
Yeah, I've just...
Say.
Yeah, but the thing, I've like played softball with Ad Rock. I haven't brought it up yet.
I know,
but
you're shy.
I think I'm going to, though. I think next time I see him, I'm going to ask him. But first,
what's the worst that could happen?
Well, yeah, he could say no. But Kate Schellenbach said she would do an episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm still working on that. Because she said, I'm going to do one, and then I didn't hear from her for a year. And then she emailed me out of the blue, and she said, I promised you a podcast episode. When are we going to do it? And then I'm still waiting to hear back from her again. But she got
Did
back.
Did you happen to catch her the Luscious Jackson shows?
No, I was out of town.
In New York?
No, but they but they came into a show I was doing on VH1 and they performed two songs, so that's better than nothing. Yeah. So, do you want to go into the bonus tracks of Alio Olio?
Let's do it.
So, Soba Violence was on the Japanese release.
That is correct.
And then Soba Violence and Light My Fire were on the Australian release.
Australian double 7-inch clear vinyl only. As a collector, that's an awesome release.
All right, only. So now Soba Violence has some additional sound effects too. It's not just guitar, bass, and drums.
That is correct.
If memory serves correct, which we'll find out in seconds. But the Beastie Boys also wrote about Soba Violence in The Sounds of Science. Wait, is it? Yeah, The Sounds of Science, Beastie Boys Anthology. This one, they write, well, what happened was we were on tour in Japan. We were on a day off in Tokyo, doing what we like to do best in Tokyo, hanging out with local friends and shopping. I was with Mark Nishida. Yoshimi of the Boredoms and her boyfriend Brian were taking us record shopping around Shinjuku. We were in this ill little area where in the radius of just a few blocks, there are like hundreds of tiny one-room record stores off of back alleys, up flights of stairs, all crazy specialized in one type of music or another. Safe to assume whatever record you are looking for, it's in this neighborhood somewhere. Record shopping was a way of making one tired and hungry. In no mood to spend too much effort seeking out something to eat, we settled for the great Japanese fast food, soba noodles. There are these little spots all over Japan where you just pick up from different types of soba. The cheaper, smaller spots don't even have a cashier, just a machine that you buy a ticket from. After procuring tickets from Brian and Yoshimi's help, Mark and I sat down to enjoy our hot noodles. Suddenly, this dude looking straight out of the Eddie Harris song Drunk Man stumbles in. He manages to get a ticket and then a bowl of noodles. He was really struggling trying to get his seat, spilling his noodles everywhere. Mark tried to help my man out, helping him sit down and avoid spilling all his noodles, when all of a sudden, the guy snaps. He slaps
what?
Money Mark right across the face. Ooh, we are all in shock. Yoshimi comes over and tries to calm shit down, talking in Japanese. The guy freaks and slaps her. Wow. Enough is enough. Brian freaks and bum rushes the guy out the door with his hands around his neck. Then a cop walks by, sees the drunk guy on the sidewalk, and keeps on walking pre-Giuliani NYC style. So there you have it. Soba Violence. P.S. I don't in any way mean to be advocating or condoning violence. Please don't try the chokehold bum rush technique at home. And that is what Soba Violence is about. You ready, Prof? In three.
I love that the story of Soba Violence is going to take longer than the song Soba Violence.
In three.
That's awesome.
Three, two, one. Here we go.
And with the little sound effects that you mentioned.
Yeah,
I like it.
I had a little box back in the day that kind of sounded like that. But I don't know where
little,
it is.
Guitar pedal?
No, it was just like a cheap little keychain toy. And it sounded like that.
I'm trying to imagine why you would have that, but okay.
But you could put this song in with Heart Attack Man and Tough Guy.
Slides right in.
Yeah, Tough Guy is about a mean guy on a basketball court. This is about a mean guy in a noodle shop. No, Heart Attack Man.
It could be the same guy.
Well, Heart Attack Man and Tough Guy are both kind of about mean guys on basketball courts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which fits in like, you know, Angry Punch song.
Yeah.
Battle the Mean Guy.
Yeah.
Down with the Man.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is. It's done.
This is done. Do not try the chokehold bum rush technique at home. And then,
not recommended.
I don't understand how this ends the Australian version, clear vinyl, of Aglio e Olio. Light My Fire, a cover from The Doors, sung by, I think, Miho Hattori from Chibo Motto.
That is correct. That's correct.
Now, speaking of Italian, did you know that Chibo Motto in Italian means crazy food?
I did not know that.
So maybe that's why they included this on Aglio e Olio.
It definitely doesn't quite fit with the whole vibe. at all.
But maybe Soba Violence is sort of like the climax and Light My Fire is the come down.
Maybe it's to cleanse the palate.
Mm-hmm.
The coda, if you will. So remember, kids, after you're done listening to this episode of The Brouhaha, go on YouTube, search for Tahoe House Party. Also check out Quasar Wonderwall. The Beastie Boys were covering Wonderwall at this time. Sometimes Mike D would sing it. Sometimes Ad-Rock would sing it. Sometimes during Wonderwall, Mike D would play drums. I think AWOL would play bass, and MCA would hop over on guitar.
Yeah, they would break out a lot of, like, punk covers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Minor Threat and X-Ray Specs and stuff like that.
And then, of course, the great Pollywog Stew songs. They were playing those. And I was reading
new life into those songs.
Mm-hmm. And I was reading an article online saying how some fans during the shows were shouting out for Sabotage or So What You Want, and the Beastie Boys were just strictly playing punk songs. And if I attended a Quasar show, that's all I would expect. I wouldn't want a Sure Shot or a So What You Want. Because Quasar...
I don't know, really? Like, how long would it take you before you got that was the thing? Right, because, like, it's not like, you know, the word got out that, like, oh, they're doing these shows, they're all punk shows. Like, you're there, oh my God, it's the Beastie Boys. How many songs do they have to perform before you would realize, like, hey, no, they're not doing all their other hip-hop songs. They're only doing punk songs. I think I could maybe, you know.
I'm pretty good at gauging the Beastie Boys vibe. Because during the To the Five Boroughs era, when I just saw the turntables up on stage, I thought, okay, it's going to be an all hip-hop show, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And then during those Quasar shows, if I got to attend one of those, I would see that there were no turntables on stage, and I would say, okay, they're just going to rock out. And there was probably no little percussion stand either, so I thought, okay, Beastie Boys are just going to play some punk songs.
Yeah, all right.
So
I prefer to give people a little bit of benefit of the doubt. That's just me.
So I guess that does it for us, Prof, right?
Is that it?
A short episode of the Brouhaha for a short album. Although I guess some people call it an EP, but 8 songs. Metallica put out an 8-song album, I think multiple times.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course they were all like 7-minute songs, but that's okay.
And before we go, I just want to apologize to everyone who listens to the Brouhaha, because me and you, Prof, more so on my end, we made a huge error during our last episode celebrating the 20th anniversary of Ill Communication. Ill Communication in the USA was not released on May 24th. It was released on May 31st. And we said throughout the episode, we're off our game, people. We're off our game. And we were off our game, because I went back and I did some more research, because I thought May 24th doesn't sound right, because that's Joe DiRenzo's birthday. And I would be like, Joe, man, your birthday's on the day that the Beastie Boys are putting out their new album. I never said that, and I don't remember saying that. And then I looked at some old commercials, and the May 31st date came up. I'm like, that's right. It did come out on May 31st. And Thad, I believe MC Scooby T, he also called me out on that. So he was correct. So
Ill Communication
came out May 31st, 1994. And according to Wikipedia, and I don't know if this is correct, Aglio e Olio, Aglio Olio, however you want to pronounce it, came out on November 13th, 1995. I did not get it until December 1995 or January 1996.
Yeah, but I question Wikipedia because I think that November 13th, 1995 was a Monday. And albums don't come out on Mondays.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't hear about it until December or January. I'm pretty sure I don't know. Yeah. So there you go. Thank you, Prof.
You're welcome. The
next anniversary is what? We've got
2018
for the 20th anniversary.
Well, or you could do next year for In Sounds.
Oh, now when's the 25th anniversary of Check Your Head? Because we never got to do the commentary on that. So it was 92.
So we could do 2017.
Yeah, there we go. Or maybe we'll
I feel like the brouhaha right now is on the same schedule as Beastie Boys albums. every couple years.
So, well, the reason I was thinking about this, because when you grow up as a Beastie Boys fan, those periods between albums are so long, and from 94 to 98, there was no album because the Beastie Boys were too busy being Quasar. So,
there you go.
We never got to see him. So, Prof, thank you for joining me. We'll have you on again.
Okay.
So, for Professor D, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yinz later.
That's it, that's all there is. Come on.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Guaranteed we bring the brouhaha.
Cause it's a brouhaha.